This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
We got a new song for you. Some of you probably ain't heard it. Spit some chewing gum out there.
One, two.
This is Dewey's song. This is called Blue Sky.
Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Mike Rakeman and Chyla LaDuff. Walter Yerkew once again is out and recovering. He is on the rebound, and we'll be back hopefully in a week or two. Anyways, we are red hot and rolling. It is Saturday, April the 20th, 2024, 420 day. Yours truly has been getting lit on some seltzer water. Anyways, Mike, how are we doing tonight, sir?
Doing great. Thanks, Pete. How about you?
But I'm doing outstanding. And our other family member, Charlie LaDuff. How are we doing tonight, sir?
Well, man, ain't one way out, babe. I just can't go out the door. You know what I'm saying?
Right. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. Anyways, we want to say hello to all of our special listeners. Little Billy Keebler and the man, alleged woman of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, also known as the Cellar Savers. Stay safe, one and all. And also, we want to say a special shout out to our listeners in Suffolk County, Long Island, and Nassau County, Long Island. You people are awesome. Thank you for your love and support. First order of business, as always, we want to remember women of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we remember Police Officer Michael Jensen of the Syracuse, New York, April 14th, 2024. Him and the Syracuse PD and Onondaga Sheriff's Office went to a house after a suspect concerning a car chase, and he was shot and killed. Fortunately, the perp is also DOA. Also, we want to remember Lieutenant Michael Housick of the Onondaga County Sheriff's Office up in Onondaga County, New York. End of watch, April the 14th, 2024. He was also shot and killed by the same piece of garbage. And the piece of garbage, once again, is no longer with us. Anyways, tonight, we're a little bit saddened. Music lost another legend. Early this week, founding member of the Allman Brothers Band, Dickie Betts, passed away at his home in Florida at the age of 80. And it's really heart-wrenching for me because I was fortunate enough to watch the Allman Brothers Band in concert live 15 times, most of them with Betts. In the later years of the band, they decided to kick him out due to his playing, amongst other illicit activities. Anyways, real quick, I want to give you my 2 cents before I pass over to these two gentlemen. Back in 1991, the Allman Brothers Band was playing in Utica, New York, a couple days before Thanksgiving. Little Feat was the opening act, and tickets were only $15. A friend of mine convinced me to, and I knew the typical Allman Brothers song, One Way Out, Whip and Post, Ramblin' Man. I said, okay, whatever. So Little Feat just knocked it out of the park. Then the Allman Brothers came on, and wow, I was memorized. Best concert I've ever been to. And from then on, the Allman Brothers Band became my third favorite band. Anyways, the band opened with Statesboro Blue, followed by Blue Sky, and did a whole about 2 hours. When I went away to college, I moved into college wearing my Allman Brothers Band tour shirt. 1994 was a special time for me and the brothers. I saw them in Jones Beach, New York, during the week. And then Saturday, I drove up to Saratoga at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, college buddy of mine. Of my childhood friends and my first girlfriend even made it to the show, and it was a hell of a show. I saw the brothers in 95 at Radio City in the spring, and then August 15th, 1995, the day Jerry Garcia died, Dickie came out and said they're going to dedicate the set to Jerry Garcia, and it wasn't one of the best sets for obvious reasons, but they were definitely sad in that day. Later in life, I still incorporated the Allman Brothers in my life. During my wedding reception, I greased the DJ $20 to play Blue Sky. And then, on this network, on my first show and on this show, we have the Allman Brothers Band and the bumper. Anyways, in terms of Dickie's skills, he is way, way underrated. Part of it was because of the other, guitarists with the band, such as Dwayne Allman, Warren Haynes, and later Derek Trucks. So besides a great guitarist, he's also a great songwriter and a great singer. He wrote songs such as Blue Sky, Jessica, and Ramblin' Man. And my favorite Allman Brothers Band, also written by Betts, is Nobody Knows. It was written by Betts and sung by Greg Allman. But anyways, we remember this legend. Also this week, Taylor Swift came out another record, probably a bunch of songs about hating guys nobody cares about. But like I've been for years, unfortunately, our heroes are just passing away due to father time. And if you ever have the chance to see these people, go out and see them. I was able to see the Allman Brothers Band, the Grateful Dead, Van Halen, Robert Plant, Jimmy Page in concert, and so on and so forth. But anyways, we're going to miss them. And the show is dedicated to Dickie Betts. Charlie, what's your opinion on the passing of Dickie Betts?
Well, let's back up here a second, dude. You greased the guy $20 at your own wedding to play a song?
Right. Instead of the typical, you know, wedding fare, I said, here's a bunch of CDs, here's a list of songs. Because the...
You greased the guy at your own. You were paying for the guy, and you greased him.
Right, but yeah, it's what we do. It's what we do in New York. Don't you remember Goodfellas when Jimmy Conway went to the bar?
No.
Greased the bartender for keep.
So I didn't know.
Right, can we talk about Dickie Betts?
Okay, my connection's a little hinky, and I didn't do any pre-production here, but I love the Allman Brothers. I remember the 8-track, this before you were born, 8-track my sister brought, Eat a Peach. Here's the thing about the Allman Brothers. Okay, Dickie Betts and Dwayne Allman, not Greg Allman, Dwayne Allman, his brother, right? Here's why they're hip. This is how they change music. Usually in music, you got a lead guitar and a rhythm guitar, right? Lead guitar, backup guitar. These two dudes figured out how to have two lead guitars. So you can't have no Lynyrd Skynyrd without Dwayne Allman and Dickie Betts. That's how it went. Now, Dwayne Allman, he died in, I think, about 1971 before all the hits started rolling. You know how he died, right?
Right.
He died on a motorcycle.
He was hit by a truck riding a motorcycle.
What kind of truck?
Right.
A peach truck.
Peach truck?
Yep. And so the next album was Eat a Peach. That's what I know about the Allman Brothers. So I like them very much. And, you know, nice to know you like them too.
Right. And also another fellow Peachhead, Mike Rakebrand. Mike, what's your thoughts on the passing of Dickie Betts and the Allman Brothers Band?
You're talking about a huge loss in the music industry. There's just not that not anybody modern that really does the kind of stuff these guys did back then. They laid the groundwork for everything we have now. Tragic loss.
Right. And unfortunately, Mike, you were interrupted by the Allman Brothers Band. But when we come back, we'll go over crime stats, cannibalism, Kennedy, and whatever else we got out there. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 75 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton, Mike Rake, and Charlie Duff on 75 Radio, remembering Dickie Betts. That was the intro to In Memory of Elizabeth Reed, also written by Betts, which is an instrumental. One thing about the Allman Brothers Band, they were a hell of a band live, and I loved their deeper stuff that you didn't hear on Day In and Day Out. I mean, I personally don't think Ramblin' Man's a great song, but anyways, let's moving right along. Now, Charlie Duff a couple weeks ago told me and Mike while I was on vacation about juking the crime stats. And surprise, 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 a week later, the Washington Examiner came out to tell us that the FBI is juking the stats or the statistics that the crime is allegedly going down. But see, when your car's getting broken into and you're getting mugged, the crime is going down. Charlie, since you were way ahead of the story, why don't you take it away?
What do you want me to do?
Well, you Good wanted morning. To talk about the crime stats. Yeah. I mean,
All right,
why is...
Well, apparently the Washington Times is listening to your show. Because here, let me put it simple.
Plus an examiner.
Examiner, whatever, same thing, man, blah, blah. Even Fox News doesn't understand it. Let me see if I can make it as simple as I can for everybody. The FBI demanded that every police agency, there's about 18,000 of them, start reporting on a new software system called NIBRS, National Incident, blah, 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 blah. They used to do it on an old system. Obviously, nobody could figure out the new system. So the crime stats for 2021, about 60% of the agencies reported. The next year, they're like, okay, knuckleheads can't figure it out. We'll let them do both systems. About 70% of the agencies reported. And this year, about 78% of the agencies reported, but they have to estimate the crime. These aren't even hard numbers. Basically, it's the Biden administration screwing up numbers like they're screwing up employment numbers. I'm not saying they're lying. They just can't be trusted because they're all over the place. Before they switched, 90% of police agencies reported and 98% of the country was covered. It's not like that anymore. So anybody that follows the statistics, data, anything, any reporter, you wouldn't accept these. You just wouldn't. That's what's going on here. Now, the FBI has a second and equally interesting measurement of crime. It's called the National Crime Victims Survey. That database has not changed. The way that they collect data has not changed. And what that showed you is that people report that they are victims of violent crime 40% higher than the previous year, and that fully 60% of people do not report these violent crimes. So I don't know why the media, well, I do know why the media, does not report the National Victim Crime Survey, because it doesn't fit, because they're part of the group. The group doesn't serve us. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I just don't like being lied to. And I don't like Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy of the media trying to tell me what I know when we know they don't know what they're talking about. So throw this crime statistics out. The Washington Examiner is correct. I'm glad I could help them. And let's get on and fix everything. The economy stinks. The border stinks. The international agency in which we're trying to manage the world stinks. The value of the money stinks. And I don't know what to do.
Mike, your thoughts on Charlie's analysis on reporting or not reporting crime statistics?
And he's spot on. He's absolutely right. But this goes back to exactly what he was talking about before, which is that look at the economic numbers, the jobs reports and everything else keep getting, you know, revised quietly after they've been released. It's the same, you know, scheme over and over and over again. You know, NYPD did it for years, change numbers, make it look better, and then revise it later and cover it up. So he's absolutely right. It's the same stupid game over and over again. And we've seen it through other administrations as well, not just this administration. We've seen it through Republican administrations as well. But he's right. Without real numbers, you can't make real progress or real fixes. So until we start actually, you know, creating this honestly, people start paying attention, it's not going to get better.
Hey, Mike, it feels like 1984, right, man. You know, 2 plus 2 is 5. Like, come on. And they keep telling us, I've had some time away from the home and I'm watching news now. And the slick suit, the dopes, these Ivy League Googlers, the American people just don't understand. If they only understood, we totally understand. They're just not measuring numbers right. And they would never dirty up their ties coming to talk to us at the bar.
Well, that's just it, right? What I'm saying is it's not the numbers, it's the perception of crime. Okay, I perceive seeing people getting thrown in front of trains a lot more than they were before. You know, it's perception, though, you know, because we're all stupid.
I can tell you the truth, though. Again, if you ask people the National Crime Victim Survey, they'll tell you I was the victim of a crime. Oh, by the way, the other thing on the new NIBOR stuff with the FBI, there's nobody with the federal government overseeing these numbers, checking in on them. They did under the old system. This new system is so sloppy that nobody's double-checking the math. They're not reliable, and we should throw them away for 5 years until they get their crap together.
Absolutely. Because like I said, you had the NYPD in the past. They were penalized. They actually got an inspector general assigned to them for cooking those numbers for the feds. So I'm expecting them to now just be honest when they're trying to cover it up and make it look better than it really is. Absolutely not.
Let me give the show a little hype, Mike. Let me give you a little hype there. This show is not stupid. This show isn't just some guys sitting around commenting on stuff. You actually know. You hear what Mike just said? Inspector generals, oversight of the numbers. It's not being done. They're not trustworthy. And I'm not believing any Beltway people, not because I refuse to believe. I would like to believe, but nothing matches up with. I've been a reporter for nearly 30 years. L.A., New York, Detroit, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Honolulu. I've never seen this. So be skeptical in the minimum.
Absolutely. Well, you're a real reporter. You actually look to broadcast truth. That's what it's supposed to be, the pure journalism. But there isn't a lot of it, unfortunately, anymore. We don't have a lot of Charlie LaDuffs that have that integrity and that belief that it should be about just honest reporting anymore. But this show is great. It really is. Pete and Walt and everybody really do bring a lot of truth to everything.
Right. But anyways, as crime is going through the roof and our city is looking more and more like Mogadishu, and it's costing more money to put gasoline in our cars, like we told you a couple weeks ago with that foolishness going on overseas, the IMF came into Washington, D.C. to do God knows what to us. And, of course, traffic is blocked up. Also this week, the House passed resolutions to give billions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel. Meanwhile, inflation is out of control. The border is wide open. Crime's out of control. And everything's going right to hell. But Jen Psaki, who lives in Arlington County, Virginia, which is just right up the street from me, says everything is fine. We don't have any problems. So the media is urinating on our legs saying it's raining, but we know any better. Charlie, Mike, I'll give the floor to you. Your final thoughts before we go to our next break.
All right, let me jump in, Mike. First of all, the IMF put out a 911 that the American debt is too high and it poses a threat to the world economy. In terms of debt to GDP, we're third worst in the world. You know who's the worst? The Chinese. Don't fear the Chinese. The Chinese can't come up with a weapon system to attack Israel. The Chinese have a fake economy, just like we do. And Jen Psaki, is that who you said? These political dopes like Stephanopoulos, and they belong out of the media. You are political hacks. They've infiltrated. The spy agencies, big media, and big tech has infiltrated. It's not true.
Well, Mike, any final thoughts before we go to the next break?
Charlie's right again. The media right now is nothing more than a bunch of paid shills that promote propaganda, simply put.
Right. And as we come back, we'll talk about Joe Biden to tell the truth and RFK Jr. Stay tuned, everybody. This is Liberty News Radio Network.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News. I'm Tim Berg. House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing ahead on several bills to aid U.S. allies with a separate bill for the border. The move is angering some conservatives who want to oust him over the move. They argue the border should be tied to Ukraine to force Democrats to vote for its passage. More anti-Israel protests are taking place at New York's Columbia University. Thursday, the NYPD confirmed that 114 arrests were made after the school called police. Former President Donald Trump is not happy about the gag order a judge in his hush money case imposed on him. It bars him from talking about witnesses, jurors, prosecutors, staff, court staff, and their family members. Trump saying on Friday it's his constitutional right to speak and noted others involved in the case are allowed to speak, including star witness Michael Cohen. To which former federal prosecutor Andy McCarthy tells Fox News the former president does have a point.
He's barred from speaking about people who spend basically 24/7 speaking about him.
Israel says it launched a limited strike at several sites in Iran late Thursday night. U.S. officials confirming Israel struck a number of locations inside Iran with no word yet on whether there were any casualties. Several explosions were reported near an airbase of an Iranian city, home to a number of sites linked to Iran's nuclear program. Disaster was narrowly averted at Washington Reagan National Airport on Thursday as air traffic controllers managed to keep a Southwest Airlines plane from colliding with the departing JetBlue plane.
Southwest 2937, stop.
We stopped. We were cleared to cross runway 4.
The FAA is investigating the incident. The JetBlue plane was heading to Boston while the Southwest plane was heading to Orlando. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Hey, we are back enjoying the Allman Brothers Band live, listening to Jessica, also written by Dickie Betts, who passed away this week. Anyways, you know it's bad for the Biden administration when CNN fact-checks Joe Biden. Early this week, Joe Biden was in Pennsylvania. He was at a memorial service that honors local residents that died in World War II, including his uncle, Ambrose Finnegan. Biden said that his uncle got shot down in an area where there was lots of cannibals in New Guinea and covered his body. And the problem is that the Department of Defense, which is operates under the Commander-in-Chief, Joseph Biden, said that the plane had some trouble and splashed down. So a couple of Pinocchios for Joe Biden. But anyways, Charlie, you wanted to talk about the story. What do you want about Joe Biden and his uncle in World War II?
Well, I don't know, man. Let me put it this way. Why don't cannibals eat clowns?
Eat clowns?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Because they taste funny. So, let me make this, up to date. Why don't cannibals eat clowns? Because they taste like Biden.
Why?
You know what I mean? I mean, what is this? I'll tell you what I think happened here. Biden is in the throes of dementia. This is an old school 1950s story that the family told the kids, right? Guy never thought it through. Never thought it through. So when he's not at his peak, because he's completely on the decline, he reverts back to his 10-year-old self and goes with the old family lore. I've actually been to New Guinea. They don't eat people. In fact, Native Americans used to eat people, not eat people. Lots of cultures would cut the heart out of their adversary and eat it in order to gain the strength and the bravery of their opponent. You would eat the heart. That's as old as anything. The Greeks did that. The natives did that. The Papua New Guineans did that. But Biden reminds me, if we're going to go back to the old lore, the riddle of the Sphinx. What is born on four legs, walks on two legs, bends on three legs? Asked the Sphinx. It was man. But I would say this, what is born on four legs, walks on two legs, stoops on three legs, and returns to four legs, that's Joe Biden. He's back to infantilism. I mean, I don't know how they're perpetrating this one. They cut Bobby Kennedy out of the whole process when he's a much more vigorous figure. It's getting stupid at this point.
Right. And like,
and I'm a Democrat.
Kennedy, I thought you were independent, Charlie.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I mean, I was a Democrat and they left me. So, you know what I mean. The Democrats
right,
have moved so far left. I can see them coming at me from the right.
Right. Mike, you serve this country honorably. What say you about Joe Biden and his uncle and his wild ass stories?
Uncle Bozy eaten by cannibals?
Yeah.
Like Joe Biden is fried. He's fried. He's absolutely a dementia patient. And Charlie's exactly right. This guy's going back to his childhood and pulling out these nuggets of you know, thoughts and stories that he heard and just regurgitating them now because he's fried. There's nothing left there. He's kind of misfiring. And no matter how many amphetamines they give this guy, it's not going to really make a difference at this point.
You know what? Here's the difference between like the Biden family and every other family had people serve in the military. When I go to the great beyond, my kids are going to say, well, Civil War and Terror, I remember daddy or granddaddy made sure the toilets were working on his first ship. So that's about it. I had a short time with the U.S. Navy, which I'm very proud of. Anyways, moving right, speaking of the presidential politics, I see that not only did the Biden administration refuse the Kennedy camp Secret Service protection, even though two members of the Kennedy family were shot and killed, that Kennedy is making inroads with Democrats and people on the far left. Should Biden be worried, Mike? I'll give it to you first, since we always cut you off at the commercials.
Absolutely. I mean, look, he's nibbling away at his numbers. He's kicking his butt, actually, in a lot of places, and he's getting on the ballot in a lot of states. At the very least, he's going to be a spoiler for Biden. He's going to pull a lot of numbers from him and make it much easier for Trump to overcome him in the general election, you know, at the very least. He's a very popular figure because he represents, you know, kind of that really that old school Democrat, that the Democrats of old, that not this crazy progressive psycho left, but the actual, you know, real Democrats are still around, and they're going to flock to him. They really are. They have no other viable candidate.
Right, but
and he won.
Right. Sorry to interrupt, but Mike, do you think Kennedy will pull votes from Trump too? Because we saw with George Bush, he was the incumbent. Ross Perot pulled a whole bunch of votes from George Bush to help Bill Clinton get elected. But I was wondering if it's going to work the other way around, because Perot also ran twice.
I think it's really not going to affect Trump at all, honestly. If anything, it's going to help Trump. If anything, any votes Trump loses will be minuscule in comparison to Biden's losing. So I think this is going to be Biden's Ross Perot, right? So he's going to just kind of clear the path for Trump's path through to the presidency this time. I don't see him hurting Trump at all, really.
Wow. Charlie, you were able to meet and interview and tour Flint with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. What's your opinion of Mr. Kennedy?
Well, I'm going to see him tomorrow night, so my opinion doesn't matter much, but my analysis, I'll give it to you. First of all, I'm going to agree with Mike, and is in a brotherly way disagree with you. You know, Kennedy's not far left on a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff he is, but a lot of stuff he isn't. He's for zipping up the border. We need more study on these vaxes before you demand that people stick them in your arm. Right. That I'm against big government telling me what to do. I'm against big pharma. That's not exactly far left stuff. Maybe it was, you know, it's a confusing time. But when Robert Kennedy Jr., he's now on the ballot in Michigan, gents, and we're a big deal over here. This could swing it. With Robert Kennedy on the ballot, Trump loses votes. You understand me? So now, in this the great Pan America, Pax America that you have here, Mississippi's different than Michigan, right? New York is different than New Mexico. We're regional places. So Michigan voted for Jesse Jackson. Michigan voted for Donald Trump. Michigan voted for George Wallace. Michigan voted for Barack Obama. We're weird over here. We want to hear something. And when Bobby Kennedy's been locked out, and it could be, I'm telling you this, I'll cut it short. All the kids in Michigan are going Bobby Kennedy. So don't count Bobby Kennedy out. The last poll that I saw that was worthy of anything, he was winning Michigan with people 45 and under. So, whatever. It's going to be interesting.
Right. Right. But what's the current population of Michigan? Because, like, New York State, all the young people are moving out, so it's a very gray state. I mean, you got Mike and his parents are up there in years. All the young people, they call it brain drain. Is Michigan experiencing the same thing with younger people moving out?
Yes, but Michigan has 10 million people. New York has 20 million people. Michigan is still a top 10 state of population. So it matters. That's all I can tell you.
Wow. Now, wait, how's Trump doing in Michigan against like Biden?
He's leading with Bobby Kennedy in or Bobby Kennedy out?
Wow. All right, we'll stay tuned. Anyways, we'll come back. We'll talk about the gender pay gap and close out the show. This is 705 Radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Are back, Scoop Stanton with Charlie LaDuff and Mike Rakebrandt. That was one of Dickie Betts' last song he played with the Allman Brothers Band, wrote for the Allman Brothers Band, back where it all began. So, you know, we're going to miss you, definitely going to miss you, Dickie. Anyways, while Mike and Charlie was having a great conversation between our awesome commercials by our awesome sponsors that we shall patronize, I was doing what I do best and usually on a Saturday night, looking at the wonderful Instagram account of one Danella Rodriguez, who's also a member of the 75 Radio family. Folks, you need to follow her at Danella.fitnessmodel on Instagram. Anyways, any jokes, gentlemen? I didn't think so. But our final story is something that, what?
I got more than a few, but you go ahead.
All right. Here's something I'm a real expert on. About the gender pay gap. All this week, we've been hearing about this female basketball player, Caitlin Clark. She was drafted in the NBA with a starting salary of $76,035. The media was going hog wild over this, talking about the gender. Meanwhile, China is experimenting with the bird flu again, and the U.S. is subsidizing it. But you didn't hear about that. You heard about Caitlin Clark making $76,000. Making an eight-figure endorsement deal. Anyways, as everybody's bitching and moaning about this non-story, my thing is that if you want to talk about pay gaps, talk about the pay gaps or the gender pay gaps in all industries. Because, you know, all industries is not equal. Perfect example is the adult film industry. Female actresses earn between $800 and $1,000 per scene. Males usually about $500 to $600 per scene. So female adult film stars earn more than male film stars. So we need to bitch, moan, complain, and have congressional hearings about that. Mike, what say you about the pay gap in the adult film industry?
It's a systematic of a lot of things. I think it's all about the roles and what's really wanted. So if you look at basketball, how much revenue is the WNBA really generating? Are they generating the kind of revenue where you could pay these players like the millions and millions of dollars you pay the NBA players? It's not. It's just not doing it. It's not there. It's not that kind of industry. So and when you cross over from that, you can bring it back to Miss Danila, right? You have the Beauty and the Beast. You know, obviously you know who you are. But with that whole industry, right?
Look at women in that industry. Why you call Danila a beast, a poor lady?
Not even remotely. She's beauty, brains, and you got the beast, buddy. I love you, but you're definitely the beast.
Thanks.
But, you know, the supermodels, right? Females dominate the supermodel field. They dominate the modeling field. They make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I can't think of even one, you know, male supermodel, you know, that really stands out at all, even remotely. So, again, that's another field where you could say, you know, I think it's more about the roles we kind of fit into and how they're portrayed and how they're kind of rewarded. So it's more so, I think, about just the way society is and how we view things. And it has anything to do with any actual, you know, group of people sitting around going, okay, we're going to pay them less because, you know, they have a vagina. I think it's just stupid, you know?
Right. Me too. Because like, if you know, perfect example, me and Danella, she's a model. She ought to get like top dollar for her and beauty. I should get bottom dollar, except if they do the job entails a before and after, because I do a great before photo. Anyways, Charlie, let me swing it over to you. What's your opinion on the big hubbub about the gender pay gap for industry that nobody cares about?
There's no hubbub. I can't believe you had me on to bait me with this stupid topic, man. It's outrageous. I refuse to bite. I'm not doing that. You know what's going on. People pay for what they want to see, right?
Yeah.
Period.
100%.
That's it. So don't set me up for this garbage, man. But people pay for what they want to see, and if they don't want to see you, then you get what's according to you. Now, would be really interesting, since we're talking about gender dysphoria or whatever we're doing, or like have Caitlin try out for the NBA, play in the G League. She'll make a hell of a lot more. People will come see it. Can she put a 3-foot, three-point shot over a 6'8" man? That's all. But don't do this to me. I'm trying to be something decent in society. I don't want to get involved in this kind of crap.
But Charlie, my point is that the media wants to raise a stink about it when we got a million
media,
other things,
man,
to talk about.
You're the media, and you're doing it. I don't really care. It's not a big story. Doesn't matter. I mean, you know what? They'll pay the women $1 million when 1 million people watch. That's all. And you know
what?
Maybe she's leading the way where people are going to watch, because they sure as hell watched during the NCAA finals, didn't they? They sure did. So if she can keep that up, then that's called the market. But I'm not going to get involved in partisan politics about what a market is. I just won't do it. But she's a hell of a basketball player. And that was a good final.
Right. And I'm whoever broadcast the final was a CBS. I'm sure they were able to get good rates for commercial times in between plays. But anywho, Charlie, the next couple minutes, I'll go over to you. How can people reach out to you? Do you have social media, website? People want to reach out to you because you're a superstar yourself. You're worth millions of dollars, or you should be worth millions of dollars for your talents and abilities.
You can tweet me. I just use my name, Charlie LaDuff, and I don't particularly answer anything. I don't even actually look too much at the comments. I put something out and let people discuss it among themselves, but I refuse to get angry. I refuse to be baited. I'm going to use my social media like it's a newsroom, because I've been trained in good newsrooms, and I'm going to leave it at that. You can follow me. You don't have to follow me. I don't follow you. I don't follow anybody. I only follow my grandpa. That's it. You know, I don't even like the name. I don't even like it, but I'm trying to put some real stuff out there. It's Charlie LaDuff.
Right. Thank you. And Charlie, we can't thank you enough for being part of this wonderful family. Charlie, any closing thoughts before the music starts playing?
Yeah. Do 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 do. Ain't but one way out, babe. Lord, I just can't go out the door. Now you're supposed to, you know, fade into that song, you know, pre-produces. Because there's a man down there. Might be your man. I don't know.
What? Charlie, you should be given a recording contract worth millions of dollars. But anyways, that's folks, you can't get this entertainment anywhere else. Mike, you want to chime in? You got another chorus, another song, or another thought before Riders of the Storm come out?
Me singing on air would actually get you guys thrown off the radio for good, not going to lie. But Charlie is right. Awesome. If listening, definitely give that guy a follow. He's brilliant. And Charlie, thank you for being a true journalist. There's so few left now. And thank you.
That's cool of you to say, Mike. And Scoop, I can't believe it. You began the whole show with Dickie Betstein, and you're not going out with Dickie Betts?
No, because we're going with Riders on the Storm, because, again, this is 7-5 Radio. We started with, you know, our first show, well, our second show, we ended with Riders on the Storm. So this show, we're ending with Riders on the Storm, because we've been playing.
Liz, I got to call out your producer. Liz, can you
get about 10 seconds?
Can you, Liz, man, try to rack up some Allman Brothers if you can.
Anyways, but Charlie, thanks for coming on the air, and also more importantly, thanks to you for being a friend. You've helped me so much. It's been funny. And like I told Mike, things happen for a reason. You answered me on Facebook. You called me. We had a great conversation. You saying you're going on about something or other. And you said, is this being recorded? No, but it should be. But can't thank you enough. And folks, you need to follow Charlie LaDuff. Charlie, you make any appearance to do anything out there? Oh. So I guess we don't have any
Bobby Kennedy's fundraiser tomorrow.
Okay, check it out. Where at?
Royal Oak Music Theater.
All right, folks, check it out. Bobby Kennedy with
this chick's awesome.
Yep,
she did it.
Yep, she is.
I mean,
all right, four.
She's a star.
Charlie LaDuff, Mike Rakebrandt, and our wonderful. Sir Liz, this is Peter Stanton reminding you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week. Thank you, Dickie Betts.